Video games are bad for you. That's what they said about rock and roll, man. Thank you for joining us for Weird Appalachia. I'm Erin.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Brooke.
And today we're talking about video games with our special guest, Dylan Baldwin. Woohoo!
Thank you for having me.
Now, let's talk video games.
Okay. Clue me in, what is that?
Jess is probably the only person in the group who's not played them fairly regularly through her life. So, that's okay.
Or
we still love
hardly
you.
Ever.
It's okay, we still love you.
It's not my fault. My brother did it to me. He gave me a complex about video games because I could never win. Oh. Ever.
Oh, that's what it is. You're just a sore loser. Oh!
No, he cheated.
Thank you so much for being with us, Dylan.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's awesome to have you. We love your art, and we know you love video games, so it's a perfect fit, right?
Yes, it is.
So we want to talk about video games as a whole being an art form. They're a very underappreciated art form. Like, yes, it's a huge industry. People pay lots of money for the entertainment value, but there's art
right
there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think people care so much about the art as they do the way the mechanics of the game work, which that's artwork too.
Yeah, that is an art form too.
But I appreciate the visual side of it so much more than the mechanical side. And I don't think people appreciate that so much. Most gamers are wanting to see like hyper realism, and that's all well and good, but I like the more artistic visuals, even if they're not realistic at all.
I totally agree. Because, like, the Fable games, everyone's always like, oh, Fable, they're glitchy, they're blah, blah, blah. Right. I love the story so much, and the visuals, I don't care about that so much.
Sure.
Yeah, I love Fable.
Yeah. But, the games that I have seen, because my son does play, like Cupheads, that is a recent game that was so awesome. I think the artwork in it is amazing.
Yeah.
Because it, like, sits you back in, like, the 30s and 40s kind of cartoons.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. I haven't seen that one.
Cuphead?
Check it out.
Oh, it's cool.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I need to check it out. And the Ink Machine. They both come
It's like playing a cartoon. Like, it's just cool
to me.
Yeah,
it is.
But it's super challenging.
Yeah.
It's really neat how all these, like, little indie games, too, have come about that have all this neat artwork.
They have the best art, if you ask me.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Absolutely do.
Just like Limbo.
Limbo is a perfect example. Because it's simple.
Very.
And it's beautiful.
But it's hard to play.
It is.
I heard a ding.
Too.
Somebody's playing a game right now. Ding, you're it.
So, like, as far as just a video game as an art form in itself, there's so much that goes into it. There's story, there's visuals, there's coding, there's all this stuff to make one product that is an art piece in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the indie developers, they focus on that so much more. They put so much more into it.
They put everything into it.
Yeah. Well, if you see, like, from when we started, because we're in that age group, like, we played Nintendo and Game Boy and stuff like that, to see, like, how far they've came in art and all the visual that had to, like, bring it up. It's pretty amazing.
It is. It really is.
And as far as, like, the visuals and, like, the promotional marketing and stuff, World of Warcraft is unmatched. Yeah. It's gorgeous, gorgeous artwork.
It is.
Do you play?
No.
You don't play MMOs much?
No. But I've watched plenty of gameplay, and I do love the art style.
What are your favorites? What's your favorite stuff?
To actually play, I play a lot of fighting games like Injustice and Mortal Kombat and things like that. But artistically, I like indie side-scrollers like Ori and the Blind Forest and Song of the Deep and, like Brooke said, Limbo. I feel like the creators focused and put their energy towards the more artistic values than they did the mechanics of the game. They're simple games, being side-scrollers. But they're so beautiful, and we can't forget about the music and the soundscapes that they use in these indie games. It really puts it over the top.
Absolutely.
Just like in Limbo, it has this, it's real simple. They use a lot of, just like you would do in painting or drawing or anything, a lot of light and dark.
Yes, high contrast.
Really, really neat. Very much so. And it kind of just, the light, everything is so dark, and it's just this little boy, you know, that wakes up on the edge of hell, Limbo, and he just kind of has to find his little sister. That's what he's looking for. Right. So you go through all these, you know, these different like areas of the limbo, and you have to go through these really difficult scenes to get through things. And it is creepy.
Super creepy. Yeah.
And he doesn't see hardly any other humans at all.
And it's completely black and white.
Yes.
It is completely black and white.
Foggy. And there's portions of the game that are hard to play because it's dark.
Yes.
You can't see what's going on. And, like, if you have to move a box, that box is black. It's just like a silhouette. So you can't, you know, you have to really focus on what you're doing.
Right.
And it's really think about exactly what you need to do. And and music-wise and sound-wise, it just, like, adds a ton to that game because it's so hollow and spooky, the music. And it fits it perfect.
It sets a mood.
It does.
Yeah.
And it being black and white makes it that much more impressive that they can have a game so simple and so beautiful, sell the way Limbo did, being an indie game. I mean, it's one of the more popular indie side-scrollers.
But, you know, for it to be as simple as it was, it had some challenging parts.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
Yes. It was very, very well done.
Yes.
And the coolest part is the ending, which I don't know if I should talk about.
Probably not.
If you've not played it, buy it, play it. You won't be disappointed. They should pay us for this.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Apparently, I need to play games because I have no clue.
I mean, that's one game that you would get a kick out of. You'd like it.
I mean,
it's kind of dark, but it's really enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, jump scare games is pretty neat, but
like it's not like that kind of scary.
It's just
creepy.
This one is just like eerie. A kind of sad.
It's like you hear a
sad, eerie.
After you're playing that game, it's probably like you hear a noise in your house, and you're like, holy crap.
Yeah, spider legs that are trying to get me. Those spider legs. Oh, God. I want to talk about a game called Braid. It was a really cool side scroller, but it was like you could travel back in time. Like you messed up, you just you pull the trigger, you go back, and rework it. It's a big puzzle game, and it was amazing gameplay. And there was another one that came out a while after called The Bridge. Almost the same gameplay. Beautiful art style, but it looks like N.C. Escher drew the entire game.
Oh, that's cool.
I want to play that. Now it's
so good.
Yeah.
I've never played that one, but I did play Braid, and it was awesome.
Braid's a lot of fun.
It's like it looks like fantasy art.
Yes,
you know, just like princess, you know, something you would draw, Aaron.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. It's like a lot of your style of artwork.
It's so, and it shows, like, whenever you go back in time, it shows the step that you just did to mess up backwards, so you try to figure out how to do it right the
next
time.
And it is difficult, too. It's really difficult.
So the bridge takes it up one step and makes it to where you're in these intricate mazes that, you know, if anyone's ever seen an M.C. Escher drawing, that's what they look like. They're just mind trippy.
Right.
So I actually got a little bit physically ill at times because you're in these maps that are just turning. And then you had to hit the trigger to go backwards to redo it. And it messed with my head so much. But it's such a good game.
Yeah. It's super cool.
It is.
I think, though, we're all artists. It gives us a totally different outlook on what makes a game good.
Yeah.
So we're all talking about all these visuals and all that stuff. Now it's all fine and good. That is amazing. But sometimes the best part of enjoying a video game, I just knocked the mic across the room.
That's usually this. I didn't do it this time. It wasn't me.
Yeah. I talk with my hands. But the best part of a video game is what it makes you feel.
Right.
Like the experience you had playing the game.
Living in the gutter.
Oh, no.
What did she get in the gutter last time? Jeez, Aaron.
She really did.
Like, as a kid, what was, like, your favorite, your go-to game that you loved?
Super Mario 64.
Yes.
I absolutely loved it. Still one of my favorites. And I think it's because I got an N64 for Christmas. And we have, on Christmas Eve, we go to my grandparents' house. And on Christmas Day, of course, I get my presents from Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And so we go to my grandparents' house on Christmas Eve, and I have a present to open there for my mom and dad. And I open it, and it's this Mario box looking thing. And I'm like, holy cow, here we go. This is awesome. And my mom takes it away from me immediately. And I'm like, what the heck? She's like, well, you're not, you can't watch that tonight. It's late and all this. She said, it's a movie. I said, okay, whatever. I was mad about it, but it was fine. Santa Claus was coming. So the next day, I opened my presents, and there's a Nintendo 64. And I had accidentally opened Super Mario 64 before I opened the 64.
See, your mom did like I do sometimes. I forget what I've got under the tree and
Christmas. Oh, yeah. She's had to rewrap many presents by, you know, looking at it first to make sure what it is before we open. But anyway, so that game, I don't know. It was just huge for me and I played it forever. And that was before you could YouTube what you're supposed to go do and all this. And I found I found 120 stars by myself, no help from anyone on the internet or not, and it's just always stuck with me. The different worlds in that game, and even that art style is cool. There's desert worlds and snow worlds, and the music is very fitting. And I loved it.
Well, it was a time period of a shift in gaming too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because those consoles that came 3D. Out then.
I think that was the first third person 3D game I ever played.
Yeah.
Because Dylan is a whippersnapper. We're all old. We played NES. All that stuff.
Well, that's what I grew up with.
I had a Genesis, but you know, I played Street Fighter 2.
I remember as a kid playing
NES. I used to try to play
non-stop.
Sonic all the time, but it just,
He who shall not be named.
My brother, always, kicked my ass. He's
He still does that.
I would think I would get all these rings, from Sonic and be like, yeah, I've got them. And then he would come in and, blow me out of the water.
He still does.
My brother's smaller than me, so. Are you older than him?
Everybody asks me that now. He's older than me.
I don't know. Y'all are twins or something.
I beat him once, maybe twice.
I bet that didn't go.
I hate to play Jeremy.
No, he applauded me. He was okay, well done. But I was so incredibly proud. I was just like, yes, finally. Because oh my God.
I was just when we played 007, when that came out, that was a big game. And he would hide his butt in a corner before I'd even get anywhere. He had collected everything. And then here I was just, just found a knife.
Excuse me.
I'm going to kill him with that knife. And, you can see your hand just moving around with the knife. And you're just
yes. It just goes back and forth.
I just knew, any minute he was going to pick my ass off. Because, me and my mom and my dad, we all would play with him. And he was just always, no matter how many times,
that'd be terrible playing against him. Anything.
And, my son is now just like him. He will, he could kick your butt in a matter of seconds. He actually got, third place in, what is the game that he plays?
Fortnite.
Yeah, Fortnite. He was up in fourth place lately. And that's just playing over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
That's playing with adult people.
True, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which blows my mind that he can do that.
Yeah,
but it is funny because, he has got some traits from Jeremy that's hilarious. He'll have his headphones on and think I'm not listening, and all of a sudden I hear him get your ass moving. And I was hey, I heard that. And he goes, what? I said butt.
Okay.
Come on.
One of my favorite memories, video game-wise, is we had an NES long after an NES was...
I knew I would do it eventually. Sorry.
It was long after an NES was the appropriate game that anyone was playing. It was old school, decrepit at that point. Yeah. But me and my younger brother would play all kinds of really old games. And they were old. By this point, they were failing. The memory would just go away. Because back then they were saved on in the cartridge. Your memory was in the cartridge. And we would get so mad because, we'd spend a whole day before almost beating it, being on the last level. And then it was gone.
The NES, you couldn't save anything.
No.
If you turn that power button off, you're screwed.
Oh, yeah.
It's done.
Yeah.
Kids today have
clue. All those games are so incredibly hard. So incredibly hard. If you go through Mario and you get to the end, you're a master.
Without using whistles or...
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we were playing the Super NES, so we were playing Mario Brothers 3.
Those are still difficult. Hard.
They were fun. So fun. I love those games still.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a working system, though, now. But now they've come out with the little boxes, which I have.
Yeah, the NES. I want one. I've not got one yet, but I want one so bad.
They were impossible to purchase when they first came out. They have them now.
And then they sold on eBay the next day for like $500,
$600. Ridiculous.
People that do that. I hate that. Like,
I'm sure somebody paid for it.
Oh, I'm sure. Because, you know, like when you're like me and you have a kid that loves that stuff, you know, like I'm grateful to his uncle because lots of times he will go over and save one. Because he knows everything before anybody else.
Yeah, apparently. You got that pre-release knowledge.
Yeah, and then, like, so, like, that's the only thing that saves me is because my brother is, you know, like, game savvy.
Yeah.
So he, like, makes sure that Bryce has his save, too, or he'll call me and let me know what's coming out. And, like, Bryce wants this, you know, give me $5 to go save it at GameStop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've talked about indie games. We love indie games. They're awesome. Obviously, but there have been some mainstream games that have amazing storylines, art, and stuff. And I know Brooke loves BioShock.
I do. It's awesome. They're all awesome. There's like what four or five of them. I know there's four at least.
Two?
I thought there was more. Anyway, I played both. But I love the original BioShock. It's awesome.
If the gamers are listening, Brooke wants a third.
I do.
Make it happen.
I do. It's really Art Deco, the whole style of BioShock. It's the storyline is the best part, though. It's not like a super artsy, farty, you know, game.
Right.
But the storyline is great. It's basically you're this dude who... you know, is out in this ocean and he finds this underwater city called Rapture, and it was built like in the 40s. And you kind of have to go through it. It's like science fiction. There's this whole big, I'm not going to give all of it away, but there's this whole big awesome storyline to it, which the creators have kind of said that they took a lot from a lot of science fiction novels and stuff to come up with this because he studied that kind of stuff in college.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it's awesome. It's really morality based, which a lot of people liked. So it's a great, great, great game. If you haven't played it, go play it.
Yeah.
Another one that's right up there with that, especially art style and story wise, is Fallout.
Yeah.
Fallout's so good. I don't even know how many there have been, but they've all been like really compelling.
Right. Yeah, there's a new one coming out, right? Fallout 76?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Yeah, big hype on that one for sure.
What's like a mainstream artful game that you like, Dylan?
God, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I've played a lot of games.
List your like top five or something.
I love top. I can't do that. I can't do that for sure. But I don't know. I've always been a big fan, and people laugh at me for this because they all like, you know, the Assassin's Creed franchise. But I love Prince of Persia. It was a very simple game, and it's artistic.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's a very
pretty game.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. And I love it. And I like how simple it is, but it's not simple. It's a hard game, but the mechanics are simple. It looks simple, but it is difficult. But it's also a puzzle game, too. I mean, you have to, there's a lot of.
I love puzzle games myself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Attitude.
It's making you use your mind in a way that keeps you sharp, keeps you on edge.
Right.
And there's some importance to that. And people are always like, oh, yeah, video games are bad for you. Actually, they're really. There's a place for what they do. The hand-eye coordination.
Right.
I mean, they make you think.
I get when people say that, and there's just, you know, in terms of these, you know, shooting games or whatever, I understand that part of it. But it's difficult to do that.
Even at Bryce's age, like my son is 10.
Yeah.
He has friends that play...
They play GTA and stuff like that. I've played GTA,
you know, like, you know, you can get health by going and getting a hooker, right? Or you go to strip clubs, you know, and you're letting your 10-year-old play this.
Yeah, that comes down to parenting.
That's right.
You just have to see what they're doing.
And when they're young, you've got to find that balance. Don't let them, you know, just play all day. You know, it just make sure they know this is entertainment. Entertainment's not all day long.
Right.
Yeah. Games, and that's a big thing.
The games are rating rated according to, you know, their maturity level. And that would be like letting a 10-year-old watch a rated R movie. If that's how you want to parent, that's fine. But, you know,
it is what it is. Like, to me, there's a big difference in, like, say, in a movie, because they're not so so into it, you know, like they're having to be so involved in shooting people and seeing it, and it's not, you know, like they don't have to be accountable for what's going on, you know what I mean? But they get to do it, and then they're like, and then it just you know, so uncompassionate sometimes. I've seen a lot of kids not be compassionate after doing that. So, like, when they're outside actually playing, like, they get a Nerf gun and they're just, like, shooting their friends down. Don't matter if it's in their face or their eyeball.
My kid does that anyway, and his neighbor played a video game as well.
Yeah, but he's not very old. So, like, he's learning. Like, my 4-year-old used to climb up on my refrigerator when Bryce was 4. He would climb up on my refrigerator and go, "I'm Spider-Man." You know, and try to jump off, and I'd have to catch him.
That's where the parent needs to, you know, watch the kids, see the kids' reactions to things, and explain everything to
them. Yeah, because there is some
I'm sure when you caught him on top of that refrigerator, you were like, "Get the hell down, you're not Spider-Man."
I had to run from across my kitchen and be like, "No!" I, like, football caught him. And I was like, "You do not shoot webs from your hands. Do you not see this?" And he's like, "I'm Spider-Man." And my kid has had 4 stitches in the same spot from being Spider-Man.
Gosh, it happens.
So, like, in that same vein, though, there's a new game, supposedly. I've seen it on other news sources talking about it, so I don't know how credible this information is. It's called Active Shooter. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Oh, my God. It's controversy. Wow. Okay, so it's basically, it's school shooting.
That's ridiculous.
Why would you
play? You can play
why would you do that?
You can play SWAT. You know, trying to stop the shooter, but apparently you can also play as the shooter.
See that? Yeah.
That's terrible.
And I can't figure out if it's just rage marketing, trying to get attention to the game.
It is, because people will play it.
Definitely.
But there's a lot of psychos.
It's like, because
that's ridiculous.
You know, that's why you shouldn't glamorize it. That's why they are trying to keep it from, you know, like when all these school shootings happen, these advocates of the children, you know, the parents of the children that have died, they're trying to get it to where you don't, like, the newscasters should not name the shooter. It should not be all about the shooter. It should be about the victim and the act that
happened. That's the way it's always been. Any serial killer or anything.
Well, they want to know why they did what they did.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like, you're glamorizing them. That's the whole reason why they love it, is because they go down in history, you know, for whatever happened. And it's like, it's the body count of, like, I can get better than the next guy. And it scares the crap out of me when, you know,
it is scary.
All of our children here, it's not happened here, but it's happened in the state of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It worries you for your children.
Well, from what I understand, the developers have teased a new mode coming in of survival as the students.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I can see how that would be. You could almost take an idea like that and make it a safety simulation, and it would be something positive.
Yeah,
but the way you're describing that you've seen it, it sounds like a terrible idea.
That's
terrible.
No, I'm not going to play it. No. I'm not going to give them my money.
Sure.
That's ridiculous.
But there's going to be people out there, especially the kids that are thinking of it.
That's who's going to buy your game. It could be a really triggering thing.
Thank you so much
for allowing those people to have an outlet and then eventually maybe do that.
Yeah.
That's what you've done. Yeah. Thank you.
I appreciate your angle there, because I'm right there with you.
It's like, it gives them a game plan. Like,
oh gosh,
you know, I'm sure you have to have, I'm sure they have maps of school, of where you can go, you know, exits and all that. And then you're giving these people that have mental illness and can buy a gun at this point, you are giving them game plans.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, hey, I need to get a... Because any school has a fire exit plan.
Right? Yeah.
Those kids, if they're at that school, they can just go rip that down and take it home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you are giving these people plans.
But I think it's safe to say that overall, violent video games, we're not saying that they influence people. We're not saying that whatsoever. It's just this particular game.
That's a different story, though.
I think the only way games would influence somebody is if they already have a mental illness.
Right. No. But anything can influence somebody like that. I mean, that's anything. Anything they watch or hear, anything. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we addressed that. Let's talk about something lighter.
Yeah, really. I like that. How about Dylan's art? Because Dylan's artwork is ridiculous. Yes.
We wanted to have Dylan as a guest because we love his art. We talked about him on the show before. Go ahead and plug your social media.
Thank you. My Instagram is Tortoise of Blue Art with underscores between each word. And
yeah, I think I had that wrong the first time I played.
And my my Facebook is Dylan Baldwin Artist, and that's it.
You need to check out his work.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Really good.
So good. Do you feel like you know, like video games might have inspired you along the way?
I'm sure, definitely. Especially the type of art that I end up with. Me and Jess were talking about, you know, not really having a plan when you start something. I generally start with like a rough, just a preliminary sketch of whatever it may be, and it turns into something else. And, you know, if I'm doing a portrait, I don't use photo references often. Most of the time I don't. And I'll just begin sketching something. Like, I know you in the last podcast or the podcast before last, you talked about the veteran space ranger that I did.
Yeah.
I ended up just sketching a simple portrait face, and I said, oh, there he is. I can see his face. It's a veteran space ranger.
Yeah.
So I finished it that way. I didn't start that way. So I would say that the fictional characters that I've grown up with in video games support the ideas that I end up with at the end of a drawing or, you know, a painting or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Subconsciously.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nothing. I wouldn't think that I have done anything directly influenced from video games, but definitely influenced by video games overall. Yeah.
And you use markers, right?
Yes.
Most of the time.
Yeah. I guess it's been a little over a year or so, maybe, year and a half, I picked up markers, and I feel like that's just, it's kind of natural to me. I'm not saying that I'm the best at it, but just the way that my artwork has evolved, and I've learned things about the process that I go through naturally, it's the most enjoyable for me, and it's the most enjoyable outcome that I have doing a project.
Yeah, yeah. I think when you find your niche, it kind of, you can just, it just makes you feel a little bit freeing. It's like, it's not as much work as it is trying to figure out what
is best to work with. When you have to think so hard about it, it's just not what you need to do.
Yeah, like, since I've been spray painting, it's really hard for me to go back to acrylic. I've tried, but I just can't.
I had the same experience yesterday. I was messaging the Weird Appalachia girls here, and they're like, everything I make today is crap. I'll go into it with the best intention, and it's just like my hands are two cement blocks that won't create anything beautiful. It's just a mess.
Sure, I think everybody goes through that. Definitely. Yeah. If I hit that wall all the time, and when I do, I will. I don't know if you all ever watched Pappy's Land growing up.
Yeah.
Okay, he would have a little owl or whatever it was in nature there that would draw a doodle, and it would be like a couple circles and a line or so, and he would make a drawing out of it.
It was always really good.
And that's what I usually try to do if I get stuck. I will
just doodle.
Shut my eyes, draw something, and try to turn something into it.
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
Pappy's Land was great.
It was so awesome.
And Mark Kistler. Did you guys ever watch Mark Kistler? He was on like PBS.
I don't think I watched that.
He used Sharpie and highlighter.
Oh my gosh.
It was really cartoony, and he only used like, you know, your basic shapes, rectangle, sphere, and a cylinder. And he was really cool. Really cartoony, really sketchy, but it was really good.
Yeah,
your kids would probably love that.
Yeah. I loved Pappy's Land. Me and my brother watched that every day.
I forgot about it, but I loved it. And he was like, that's like laying the foundation for the young artists.
Absolutely.
Like
yeah. And it's cool because Mark Kistler came on right whenever I got off the school bus.
Yeah.
And I would be at my grandparents' house. And it was awesome. That's what I did on a daily basis.
Yeah. I'd always try to draw when Pappy's Land was on, what he was drawing. Yeah. I was like.
Yeah. And Pappy's Land was on before I went to school. I would get up early to watch Pappy's Land.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
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 And you know, the other guy, you're saying he uses Sharpies and highlighters. That would inspire any kid to be like, hey, I got a highlighter. Let's try that.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son Bryce has actually seen Dylan's work, and he loves it. And a lot of his stuff kind of favors Dylan's stuff here lately.
Cool.
But he uses colored pencils.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. He came over to me and Aaron the other day, and he's like, look at this. What do you think about this? What color should I do the hair? And we're like, oh, leave it white.
And he was so confused, like, what? Where's the color?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did an amazing drawing the other day of an Adidas tennis shoe, and he colored it, like, aqua blue in, like, Cheeto orange. And he was like, it's a Cheeto shoe.
Oh, that's cool.
And then he wrote Cheeto by Adidas.
Yeah.
So I was a marketing genius already.
That's awesome.
But, you know, not only is it an absolute art form to create a video game, but there's been a huge trend lately of people using a video game as a medium in itself. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Minecraft.
Yes.
There's so much amazing stuff being made in Minecraft.
I don't know how people do what they do.
Yeah, it looks
Because I've played it and I'm just not very good at it.
I love Minecraft. I've spent way too many hours just messing around on Minecraft. But yeah. I've seen articles where, like, people made a functioning computer inside Minecraft.
I mean, and I can't wrap my head around that. How do you, I don't understand.
I can't wrap my head around it, but it's amazing.
Yeah, super cool.
Really cool.
Super cool. The last crazy thing that I've seen in Minecraft, and it's probably been a while, was Hogwarts. Someone built Hogwarts. And it was just insane. It was as close to scale as they could make it, and I don't know, it just kind of blew my mind.
My younger brother, when they first released the creative mode on Xbox, he could make, he made the craziest stuff. Like, he made the set of I want to say it was Mass Effect, maybe, made like the ins, like the actual like walkthrough level in Minecraft.
Sure.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
Do this, I can't, like, I can build a house to make it look pretty cool, but when it comes down to, like, all the mechanics and, like, you can make doors open and stuff, like, I can do the super basic stuff. But some of these people can just, like, have you ever watched, if you look on YouTube and you find, like, roller coasters made in Minecraft.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Insane. Super especially cool. The Beetlejuice one. I saw one.
Oh, that is cool.
After Beetlejuice. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of roller coasters, what was the game where you could put
Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I loved it.
I loved it.
Anything that you can make money on, I loved it. I used to play The Sims just to use the cheat code to, like, make me a millionaire.
I mean, you can make some cool stuff on The Sims.
Yeah.
Sims 3, I think it was, where you could, like, customize all the textures.
Yes.
I know it's not, like, a gamer thing, but I really loved it. Because when they came out with the next one, it wasn't nice.
Yeah, I always like making a room that they couldn't get out of. I thought it was hilarious.
I was terrible. I was terrible on Roller Coaster Tycoon. I would build a roller coaster, and then the end of it would just shoot into the sky, and they would burn.
They would
crash. I would just be like, "Watch this, mom."
Yeah. Like, everybody has that, you know. Yeah. It's like you just want to be mean for a little bit.
You
want to
be evil just a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
that's so funny.
It was like I would leave them. I mean, I would put them a toilet in there, but not always would I let them use the bathroom.
That's horrible.
Yeah,
you had
dark
side
girl.
Yeah.
I kind of let it out.
She went too far.
And then, I found spray paint, so no worries.
Her best friend in high school, Santina, told me that she loved to play The Sims and make a pool, put them all in the pool, and then take away the ladder and watch them die.
Hence why she was my best friend.
Yeah, you guys got along great. I'm surprised you didn't like.
But you're talking about two people that used to glue a quarter in our high school hallway just to watch people try to pick it up.
That's hilarious.
And we would die laughing. I mean, it was just like, but you just don't understand. Like, these people actually really tried to get it up. Like, it was like,
oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like, oh my God, my finger's not picking it up. What's going on?
Oh my God.
I would give up and walk away. I'm not going to stand there
even,
a quarter
and try to pick up the quarter.
You don't know how many people that stood there for like 5 minutes.
I don't want somebody's nasty quarter.
If it's sticking to the floor, there's something gross under it. Leave it alone.
It was like Santana would do like gum. Like she would throw gum. And it was like people would step on it and then they'd do that, you know, like hop hop.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, like really try to get
children.
I didn't do that. Like the glue in the quarter was pretty good. I didn't want to put nothing on nobody's shoe or anything. But now, like a lot of our other friends too, they were in on it, and we would like you'd have this group of people at our locker, and we'd just stand there and we'd be dying laughing at these people. We were a little mean.
Well, everybody does. We're still in high school. I remember this one guy I went to high school with. He would bring a mandolin to school because, you know, We're in Eastern Kentucky. People bring right. animal in school.
Yeah.
And he would stand
at hunting rifles.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
And he would just stand there and play that mandolin, and then people would walk by the office, by the principal's office in the morning before classes were started. He'd be playing his mandolin. People would walk past him, and he would just start following them, just playing a mandolin, and they wouldn't notice for a while. Yeah. And then when they turned around and noticed, it was so funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I never saw that. We went to school together. But I do remember this girl who had this little sound box, and it would play the Halloween music. Do you remember this? I'm not going to say names, but
I think I do.
Okay. She would put it in her locker, and, like, every time we would the bell would ring and we would go, you know, she would start it, and it'd be the, you know, Halloween music. I can't really do it, but it would be, it was so loud, and it would echo because it was in her locker, and she would just follow people around with the music.
This is before YouTube. See, like, we had done all this.
We could have the best reaction video.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. People are just like, what are you doing? What's going on?
It's like, I had some pretty interesting people in my group. Like,
I think YouTube is, when did you has graduate influenced this? The new generation. People won't do a lot of things that we did that don't want to be seen doing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Vintage and seekers are just like, yeah, let's do that.
Right.
It's like, we just did things to get people's reaction. So,
I mean, that's high school.
I stayed in the library.
That's right. I mean, I had a person that used to never went to school, like a
really. I never.
Really?
I was a terrible student.
Yeah. Me too.
I did.
After I graduated high school, I turned out to be a decent student. But
isn't that really weird how you find that out?
Aaron was always at school.
God, I was that kid. That kid that was just like, it would be like, let's lay out. I'd be like, no.
Oh.
No, I'm not a perfect
student. Yeah,
I wasn't a perfect student.
I never was.
But I didn't miss that much.
If I didn't have to be there, I wouldn't be there. I'm just like, nope.
My wife literally had perfect attendance from kindergarten through her senior year. She went half a day on senior skip day. Perfect. Never missed a day of school in her life.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she got a big plaque for it and all kinds of crazy
stuff.
She
did it for the plaque.
Probably.
She did it for the receipt.
She's got a whole daggone trophy case. So.
That's amazing.
Jeez.
Yeah. I miss plenty of school. I used to sing, so, you know, it was like traveling all the time.
Yeah.
Miss a lot of stuff, but.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Dylan. Yes. We love you. We love your work.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
Dylan does something absolutely amazing that involves art and video games. It's gamer tag art. Tell us about it.
I don't know how I come up with the idea. I'm sure it's been done before, and I'm not saying that I invented it, but one of my friends just wanted me to do something related to his Xbox, use as his, you know, instead of an avatar, use it as his gamer card, and or the image for his gamer card. So what it is if anyone wants to do this, they just send me their gamer tag alone, and that's it. And whatever it may be, I come up with the idea naturally, and I don't ask them, like, hey, do you want me to put this in? I mean, do you want me to add this or that? I just do whatever comes to mind, whatever the gamer tag makes me think of. Just like if I was playing a game and I see this gamer tag, you know, squad up or whatever, it's going to be what the people think of, or what at least what I think of, by looking at their gamer tag. So I usually try to come up with something like that.
Yes. You should totally go on Etsy shop for that.
You'd make a killer.
It's one experience that, and I've commissioned one. It's gorgeous. It's one experience to where you're fully getting an artist's vision.
I love that. I hate telling people what I want. Well, I'm just like,
it wasn't a gamer tag, but the last thing it wasn't the last thing that you done, but it was the pig. But it was for the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
Oh, it's on your Instagram, too, right?
Yeah, I ate there. It was so good.
Oh, it is good.
It's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, they asked me to do something, and I said, that's fine. I mean, I'll do it, but it's just going to turn out to whatever it turns out to be.
Yeah.
And so it's a picking space with boxing gloves on.
But it's awesome.
You're clear up front. You know, you're going to get what you're going to get.
Right.
So that's totally fair.
Yeah.
So, like, when you did that, like, you could make it, I mean, just around here, too, with the, because a lot of our good restaurants are just family restaurants. It's mom and pop restaurants. So, like, if you put it out there, like, you know,
especially in Paintsville.
Yeah, in Paintsville. Yeah.
You're not really saying.
You went for a barber shop, too, didn't you?
I know they might.
That was really good.
Yeah.
But back on track to
gamer tag
art. Was Copenhagen one? We talked about it on
that earlier. That was here
podcast.
At the art bar.
Yeah. So good. I loved it.
Yeah. His name, he had it on PlayStation. His name was Cope Jack. Uh-huh. And I almost did something for that. And I had honestly forgot that it was changed to Copenhagen 84. And so I did that. It did turn out pretty cool.
It was awesome.
I mean, it was a simple idea. I done the dead president's mask. Reagan, what's the dead president's movie where they rob the bank and all that with the dead president's mask on?
I know what you're talking about.
Point Break.
Yes.
Yes. It was the Surfers or whatever. That's where I kind of got that idea from.
It was really the mask. And I know so many people at your solo here at the Art Bar. They were like, come on, man, sell me that. Come on.
Yeah,
yeah. They wanted it so bad.
All right.
Me included, I would have bought it because I thought it was great.
Yeah, and I appreciate that whenever I have an idea naturally like that and people do like it, because a lot of times I'm sure they don't, and a lot of times I don't. But when they do, that's what makes us as artists do what we do. I mean,
you feel validated.
That's right. That's right.
That's great. Well, Dylan, thank you so much for coming out and talking to us.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Look him up on Instagram. You won't be disappointed. Yes. While you're at it, like Weird Appalachia.
Absolutely.
Follow Weird Appalachia on Twitter. We're everywhere. Be sure to rate us on iTunes and stay weird.
Thank you, guys.